Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We have the power in our lives to live a self-controlled life, to live with self-control, put it that way. In fact, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. The reason that we can't live in a way where our life has power is because we're very often not disciplined enough to live with self-control. We don't have self-control because we're not led by the Spirit. Left to ourselves, we have no self-control. But when we are led by the Spirit of God, we do what God wants us to do.
One of the wonderful byproducts of being filled with the Spirit is that God gives you the power to have discipline over yourself. We don't have to be manipulated and dominated by our thoughts, desires, or wants anymore. When we yield or surrender ourselves to the Lord, He gives us the spiritual fruit of self-control. In today's message, Pastor Troy will encourage us not only to be yielded to the Spirit, but to grow in having a deeper, richer, godly relationship with God, accented by self-control. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Paul said, I count all the stuff that I pursued in the past, all these accolades, all this stuff. I spent so much money pursuing the best educations and the best of everything, but now I don't use any of it. Or I count it as loss for the sake of knowing and following Christ. And His light shined. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints He speaks about. It gives us hope. It gives us a reason. There's reward in this. There's something beyond this life that makes this all worth it. So here's the point. You can put your life in God's hands. You can trust Him. Let Him do what He wants to do. Stop trying to navigate and control it and figure out and anticipate. Trust Him with your life. Because He loves you. And He has a wonderful plan that will make you more fulfilled than you thought you could ever be. You will be complete. You know, for me, speaking about being in the military, my dad was military. I was military. I figured we were just a military family, you know, and my children, everything would be military. So it was a big deal when I felt the call of God. What happened was, as I pressed in on knowing the Lord, wanting to follow Him more, how do I follow You? How do I seek You? How do I stay close to You? Well, what else, Lord? Something began to transition in my own heart. And my job, my career, the military, became simply tent making. The job I had that I would have money to live, you know. But my life became ministry. My life became about serving the Lord, what He wanted me to do. That was God's call on me out of the military, all that I had ever known, and to serve Him with all of my heart. I didn't know where that would take me. I didn't have plans. I didn't have visions. I didn't say, here's my 5-year plan. I want to be this by then. I didn't know what I would be. I just knew that following Him was changing my heart. And it was causing me to want to more and more do whatever He asked. Sometimes I am thankful that He didn't ask me to go to Africa, you know, at least for a long, long period of time. But you know, I have a friend who's in Africa, and he's so glad that God called him to leave the U.S. and go to Africa. When God leads us, we're glad He led us. It's always the best thing. On the other side of that coin, growing in Him sets your eyes. It gets your eyes fixed on Him. But it's so easy to distance ourselves from Him too. Growing in the Lord, maturing in Him is like riding a bicycle uphill. You have to keep pedaling. There is no coasting or you will fall off. There's no coasting. And so, in the same token, it's easy to grow distant from the Lord, to forget about the Lord, to not really consider the things of the Lord or seek Him. George Mueller said, "The less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray." It's a downward spiral. And just so you know, that committing your life to Him is not a gamble. It's a done deal. It's a good thing. He writes, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet," that's Jesus, "and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." So the church should become a reflection of what God wants to do, what the Lord wants to do in the world. Our lives should reflect that. So the final thing today is we can know His power. Because to do that, we can't do it in our own strength. We need to understand what we're doing can be done and that we can do it. But we can only do it in His power. And it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but it's pretty hard. And so it's a very strong power. God can do anything He wants, through anyone He wants, in any way He wants, which means your life can be transformed because God wants to use your life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." We have the power in us, if we are led by the Spirit of God, to do any and everything God gives us to do. Now, you may say, "I want more talent." Well, talent may not be something that you need for what God has for you. "I wish I could speak better and wow people and captivate them." You know, some of the greatest moments in Christian history where lives were changed, transformed. You take sinners in the hands of an angry God. That bold proclamation of the fact that God is just. Yes, He loves, but He is a holy God. It was read and almost monotone when many people came to faith in Christ. It wasn't a charismatic reading, a public display, not like me, arms flailing around. It was read, God angry, and God is this, and He's holy. And people repented. He doesn't need talent. He can do what He wants to do. What He wants more than anything is availability. Are being available for Him. He's able to save all who believe in Him because that's the power He has. The proof? Jesus was raised from the dead. And you may think, "My marriage is done, it's dead." Not so. Jesus is able to raise the dead. That person will never come to faith in the Lord. God knows. God's able to raise the dead. But what He's working on right now is you, us. Because there's nothing more frustrating than for our life to be out of order. You know, finances, we're in debt, we're always asking for money from somebody. And then our children, "Can you watch our children?" And they always misbehave. And then you're trying to witness to them. "Well, God is powerful, God is good." And they're scratching their head thinking, "What? I don't want to show up on Sunday and say God is good and my life is a mess. My kids are totally irreverent and out of control. And my bank account, you're always asking us for money. How is your..." "Oh, I guess we're your God. I guess God's using us." Yeah. That's not the way it works. We should be the ones blessing others, not begging from others. We should be the ones who have the testimony that they're inspired by. They look to your life and they go, man, we are in debt. How did you do this? Let me tell you what the Lord did for us. First of all, he brought us low. We almost got divorced. This was a very difficult, trying time. But as we both committed our way, it wasn't one. We both had to commit our way to the Lord. And when that happened and we fixed our eyes on him, he told us to scale back and he gave us direction. And this is what happened for us. And someone who's seeking truth, someone who really wants to know how they can fix their lives, they'll say, then that's what I'm going to do because I've seen it. But others who don't want the difficult course, you've run into them. Maybe you were one of them. Maybe you are one of them. They'll say, I don't want the Jesus thing. Show me another way. But there really is no other way. Not without messing other things up. See, Jesus gives us perfect balance for life in every area. We can do this. We can start spinning this plate. Oh, that one's going to crash and run over here. And spin that plate only to find that one crashes. We can do that in our life. Hey, you really fixed your marriage. Yeah, but my kids are way out of control now. I never see them because I'm spending time, me and my wife. Only her. We lock the door. We don't even see the kids anymore. Just throw them out a pizza every now and then. Fixing our marriage. We're first. But God gives us the right balance. Ministry. Life. Studying the scriptures. Loving your spouse. He loves your spouse more than you do. He's not going to neglect her or him if you commit your way to him. So we have the power in our lives to live a self-controlled life, to live with self-control, put it that way. In fact, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. The reason that we can't live in a way where our life has power is because we're very often not disciplined enough to live with self-control. We don't have self-control because we're not led by the Spirit. Left to ourselves, we have no self-control. But when we are led by the Spirit of God, we do what God wants us to do. And then our life is different. But the reason there's no power, no self-control for us is we're not seeking the Lord. We've got our eyes not fixed on the Lord. We've got our eyes fixed on our thing, what we want. Like the woman who one time had been so good all year with her. One temptation she had was donuts. She did her little round with the Lord about donuts, you know, off with the donuts. I'm putting aside all those things that stumble, and that's the one thing that really gets me. And so she was good all year, and the holidays come up, and she feels privileged almost. There's a donut shop that she hasn't been in that whole year. And so she thinks, surely God is willing to reward me for my faithfulness. So she just can't fix her eyes off. She's thinking about it. She knows she's going to pass it. And so she goes into the parking lot. She goes, oh, what am I doing? Wait a minute. Let me pray. And so she says, Lord, if I don't find a parking spot in the front row of the donut shop, I'll know you don't want me to get a donut here today. And so after the 15th time around the donut shop, she found that parking spot right in the front row. And you know what she said? Praise you, Lord. Because her focus was on this. And when the door finally opened, she gave credit to the Lord. It wasn't the Lord. It wasn't what God had for her. In fact, if she had sought the Lord, she never would have been in the parking lot area in the first place. Busying herself. 15 laps used up some gas and took extra time. Time that God doesn't get to use her because she's focused on this thing that's not from the Lord. In our lives, the reason there's no power is because we don't allow the Lord to lead us. And you know, God doesn't lead us in that straight A to B either. What we like to do is we like to find out what's B, Lord. What's point B? Where are you taking me? I'll get there. You tell me where, I'll get there. I'll be a faithful servant, steward, whatever. But the Lord knows we won't be. So he doesn't always give us B. He'll give us a general idea because it keeps us motivated and gives us going. Sometimes he'll say, hey, you know, I may be doing this in your life. But then he takes us down here, sometimes backwards and around and over, because there's a lot of learning to do, some wilderness time for all of us almost. Even King David, who was declared a man after God's own heart, spent some time on the run. He was a man whose heart was still being molded, prepared for what God had for him. So the problem for us is we want, when our prayer is, give me B, and I'll get to B, because I'm a straight line person. But God says, no, I'm going to give you one step. How's that? One thing. Now, if you can be faithful with the one thing, I'll give you the next thing. And then if you're faithful with that, you'll find out B and C and D and E and F and G. And you'll do it well, too, because you'll be exactly what I made you to be. So the power in our life comes not from what we have. And it doesn't come from just having the Spirit, because we all have the Spirit of God in us, those who are born again. It comes from walking in the Spirit. First, we fix our eyes on Jesus, not on the other things. We fix our eyes on Him. We also have to take thoughts captive. The Bible tells us you can take your thoughts captive too. Take those captive to the obedience of Christ. Stop dwelling on certain things like when I pass that donut store, I'm going to pull off. And then I'll pray. No, pray now. And then we must walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk by the Spirit of God, then our lives can be powerful. Having a beautiful voice on the worship team is not the Spirit of God. It's inspiring, but it's not the Spirit of God. Submission, humble lives, lives that let Him take preeminence, first place. That's when God is able to be seen in the lives of His people. When we're able to put down ourselves, or not put ourselves down, but lay aside ourselves. Not be about us. What about me? What am I getting? And thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't even need to know the why. What are you about today? What do you want to do? Help me to do what you've given me in a way that pleases and honors you. God is able to cause even the lost world to see His Son in your life when you live like that. Heard the story. It was an illustration. I don't know if it was a true story or just an illustration written out about a baby's hug. A family was sitting in a restaurant, and their child was just at the toddler stage, the lower end of the toddler stage. And they're sitting there eating. The child was all calm, behaved. They were a Christian family. And in walks a homeless man who kind of sits down, and the child's kind of drawn to him. He walks in. The homeless man sees the child, and the homeless man, you know, does the, hey, how are you doing? Hey, peekaboo, you know, that kind of stuff. And the child's all excited about it and happy. Well, the parent was kind of put off by it, like, who is this guy? You know, I don't trust him, and why is he doing this? And so finally, after they were done, they got out, they went over to pay, and as they were in line, the homeless man came over, and as he was about to walk by tight area, and as he was walking by, the child kind of lunged. And, you know, if a child lunges, sometimes, oh, no, what's happened? And he was there, and he lunged right into the arms of the homeless man, who in that moment, just the child buried his head in like he wanted to hug him. And the homeless man hugged the child back and started to cry and gave the child back. The mom was touched, didn't know what was going on. The homeless man, and she said, hey, we got to get going, so have a Merry Christmas. He said, I've just had the best Christmas I've had in a long time, just now. And he explained, he had lost his wife and child. And his life had never been the same. He'd never held a child. And he forgot what it even felt like. And that moment caused him to remember what life felt like. And the woman was ashamed, because she had already been judging and critical. Hard. He wasn't a human being. He was someone we needed to defend our child from. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Lord says, unless you're converted and become like little children, you won't even see the kingdom of heaven. This isn't about just doing some things, walking and doing some task lists and making sure you're at church every week. This is so much more than that. This is about the heart of God, that you know the heart of God And you demonstrate the heart of God, the love of God to the world, through the gifts that he's given you, through the life that you have. All things for his glory. Not wasting your time circling the donut shop, whatever your donut shop might be. We've got this saying in the church. I like it when we go deep in the scriptures. Like that's what we like to do. And dig deep. Again, talking about the things like the tabernacle and how the outer layer was so average, like Jesus, average on the outside, but inside that heart of gold and inside the angels and a picture of heaven, deep, we like deep. But you know what? We don't need that kind of deep. We'll learn that kind of deep as we get to know the Lord. But just to study for academia's sake isn't the most important thing. See, digging deeper is not necessary if what you've already dug up is not being applied. And God's word is put together in such a way that all you have to do is scratch the surface, and there's enough there from the particles that begin to fly around in your life, in your heart, to transform your life. Don't spend so much time trying to study the deep things. It'll be an academic exercise at best. Study to know who he is. To know God. Sometimes you'll read a scripture you've already read before, and then you go, wow, I didn't really make the connection before on that text. But now it's so simple. And we'll see things differently. We won't see things like the world. There was a family that attended a church, a large church, very large church. And they heard in their announcements that they were going to pull together funds, resources, gifts, whatever, to make a very special Christmas for a family that's been so faithful to the Lord that could use some help. And so this particular family, that was their heart. And that was their heart. Like, oh man, a ministry we're about. And so they did everything they could. They saved, they didn't eat the extra sauce on their spaghetti. I mean, they cut everything down to the minimum. They didn't have a whole lot, but they still cut back. They found ways. And they gave what they could for this ministry. And they just could not wait. They were so excited about Christmas. The day that they went to deliver gifts, or the church did, they got a knock at their door. And it was the church. They were the family that the church was taking up a collection for, this faithful family who loved the Lord, who didn't have much. They didn't know they were poor. They thought they had an abundance so that they could cut back and save and give to some poor, needy family. See, the closer we get to the Lord, the more our eyes are open. The more we see things clearly, the more complete we are, and the more the power of God is able to reflect through our lives. We have blurred vision, but we can have it cleared up today by letting the Lord minister to our hearts and fill us with his word, the knowledge of who he is, just as Paul prayed for the Ephesians then.
As we learn more about the church at Ephesus in Pastor Troy's continuing study, we find that there is much to learn from the trials and struggles these early Christians endured. The guidance provided to them from the Apostle Paul still applies to our lives today. We will learn even more as we dig deeper into this letter. If you'd like to hear more from Building on the Solid Rock, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe on iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through buildingonthesolidrock.com and let us know how we can be praying for you on your continuing journey of faith. That's all the time we have for today. Join Pastor Troy on the next edition of Building on the Solid Rock for more from his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow.